You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 3 of our series, Growing Pains, 5 Foundations to Spiritual Maturity. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Just months before all 3 of my kids were potty trained, my wife and I, we always knew exactly when they actually had to use the potty, okay? With 100% accuracy, I would say, we could almost predict every time when they needed to use the bathroom. How did we know? How in the world did we know? Here's how. All three of my kids would secretly slip away into hiding when they had to take care of business, okay? If they were downstairs, this is how we knew every time, like clockwork, every morning. If they were downstairs behind the curtain that hung in front of the sliding glass door leading to our backyard, we knew full well what was going on, okay? It's fascinating to me to think that even as toddlers, they seem to understand, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be doing this right now. I mean, they seem to be able to comprehend that we had entered into a season where we, their mom and dad, would really prefer that they attempted to do what they needed to do in the bathroom and not in the diaper they were still wearing. And they knew they weren't going to do that. And so what did they do? They went and hid. I think, if I'm being honest with you, I think the same is true with us even as adults. When we are participating in some kind of activity that we know is maybe a little questionable, we try to hide it, right? When we are doing something that our spouse might not be pleased with, or our boss might not be pleased with, or our teacher might not be pleased with, or perhaps that God might not be pleased with, we usually try to hide it. We do it in secret, behind closed doors, in the dark, outside of the view of the public eye, so that no one else would see or notice what we are doing. And this kind of behavior is ultimately incredibly destructive and dangerous to us, and to our spiritual lives, and to our hearts. Doing these kind of things, living a life in secret, in hiding, can be incredibly dangerous. And yet, if I was gonna completely flip the script on you today, which I'm gonna do, I would tell you that there actually is one component. There is actually one component to our spiritual life that is best facilitated in secret, behind closed doors, out of the view of the public eye. And this one component can have a massive, massive impact on our spiritual lives. And so that is precisely what I want to share with you today as we continue in this series called Growing Pains. What is this series all about? Here's what it is about. We have been discussing the 5 foundations to spiritual maturity, because the truth is, growing in any area of life, it's never easy, but it's always vital. The same is incredibly true, if not the most true, when it comes to our spiritual lives. Never easy, but incredibly vital. And we think that there are 5 foundations for us to build into our lives that will help. In fact, it was North Point Church in the Atlanta area that discovered 5 factors typically present or evident in the lives of people that they seem to have determined exhibited a certain level of faithfulness and spiritual maturity. And so after all the results they compiled, here are those 5 factors that they determined was evident in the lives of people living true lives of spiritual maturity. Number 1 is this: practical teaching. Number 2, providential relationships. Number 3, private disciplines. Number 4, personal ministry. And number 5, pivotal circumstances. Okay, 2 weeks ago, we kicked this series off, and I began talking about practical teaching and how vital it is that we regularly and consistently put ourselves in a position to take in practical biblical teaching, teaching that is not only true, but that is also helpful. Last week, we talked about providential relationships, right? The kind of relationships and the kind of friends in our life that we hear God through and that we see God in. And our hope in talking about these kind of friendships is that we ultimately might choose, as you already heard about today, is that we might ultimately choose to circle up, to find our way into an MC circle so that we might make progress in some area of our life or that we might ultimately meet people who that we would choose to do life with, right? These kind of relationships, providential relationships are huge in our life. If you haven't signed up for one yet, I would say now is your chance. Okay, that was last week, providential relationships. Today, as I already began alluding to, we're going to talk about the third foundation to a life of real spiritual maturity. And it's this, private disciplines. Private disciplines. In his most famous sermon, Brian alluded to it already earlier today, in his most famous sermon, known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches specifically about three common and three very important spiritual disciplines. He talks about giving and he talks about praying and he actually talks about fasting. And his advice for all three is fascinating to me. His advice for all three of these incredibly important disciplines, his advice is the very same thing. He says, do it in private. Do it in private. Do it in private. Let me show you what I'm talking about here today. We're going to pick up in this sermon in chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. Here's what Jesus says as he talks about doing good deeds and ultimately giving to those in need. He says this, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. You see, in Jesus's day, there were too many people who gave to others in need, and then they made a big deal about it publicly in hopes that everyone would notice them and admire them and applaud them for their good deeds. And Jesus isn't all too pleased with that approach. In fact, he says, don't do that. Look at verse 3 and 4 if we continue on. He says, but when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He says, give your gifts in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing is Jesus' way of saying, make this discipline in your life a private one. He continues, this time talking about prayer, a vital discipline in the life of any Jesus follower. Prayer is like oxygen to our spiritual lives. It is so important. And Jesus starts by saying not to pray like the hypocrites do, who again, they just pray out on the street corners where everyone will see them and notice them, right? But here's what he advises. He says, but when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Yet another piece of instruction to do the important parts of spiritual life in private. And it doesn't stop there. Jesus isn't done yet. He continues on talking about fasting. And fasting, in case that sounds, weird, right? Fasting might be one that feels most foreign to you. Fasting is just a practice when you go without something, typically food, in order to learn to depend more on God. It's a discipline often used in an attempt to hear from God more, right? Or to discern how and where God is leading in our lives. I can't say that fasting is a huge strength of mine, but at various points in our lives, my wife, Erica, and I, we've fasted. And our goal was to try to limit any other input into our life so that God and his leading and his voice was the primary input. It can be a significant discipline in our spiritual lives. And here's what Jesus says about it. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. This is funny to me, if I'm honest, right? Too often I encounter Christians who think like the more miserable and like deprived they are, the more spiritual they are. Right? Friends will ask them like, oh, you look tired. And they're like, oh, well, let me tell you, right? We don't live by bread alone, but by every
word of the Father, right? It's like, why are you making such a big deal about this, right? You know, too often people want to be applauded for their spiritual life. And Jesus says, don't do that. He expands even to talk more about what he wants. He says, but when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Yeah, take a shower, clean yourself up, change out of your pajamas, right? And put yourself together a little bit. Okay, I added a few there. You get the idea. Verse 18, he says, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Give in private. Pray in private. Fast in private. What are we supposed to make of all this? Okay, why the continual insistence that these pieces of our spiritual lives take place in private? What's the deal? Okay, it's actually not what you think. A lot of people will wrongly kind of take these verses out of context, right? Too many people will point to verses like these as a kind of like mind your own business approach to spiritual practices in their life. But Jesus's point in this is not that we should never make these kinds of spiritual practices public, right? Public acts of obedience, they can be very valuable and very honorable when they are done for the right reasons. Because when they are done for the right reasons, man, they can inspire others to greater levels of faithfulness. Take giving, for example. If done for the right reason, making someone's generosity public, it could spur others on to greater levels of generosity. They could be moved by the discipline that someone displays. They could be moved and touched and inspired by the joy and the sacrifice evident in someone's willingness to give. Same with praying. There is immense value in public prayer. I mean, I wouldn't have a job if there wasn't any value in it. There's immense value in public prayer to encourage, to plant seeds of hope, to invite God to move, right? To call on God to lead and to guide, to ask God to heal, to forgive, to equip, and to empower us. Jesus is not suggesting, and I understand what it is that we just read. I get it. Okay? But Jesus is not suggesting that these activities, that these disciplines never see the light of day. His point is this: when these things are done completely away from public view, then a person or then a group of people can focus more exclusively on God. He's not saying don't ever make this stuff public. He's just saying, man, when you do this stuff completely out of the view of the public, then you can focus more exclusively on God. And that is the goal, friends. That is the goal of your spiritual life and my spiritual life. That is what you and I should want, to be more exclusively focused on God and not the rewards and not the attention and not the applause of other people, right? It's to be more influenced by God and to be more led by God and guided by God and empowered by God and equipped by God and comforted by God and steadied by God and strengthened by God in the everyday lives that we live. That's the goal. And if that's the case, if that's all the things that we should truly want, then here's what we need to take away from all this talk of privacy. Here's what I think this says to us: that it is the things that no one sees that produces the life that everyone wants. It's the things that nobody sees that produces the life that everyone wants. Everyone wants to live a life of generosity. Everyone wants to live a life of purpose and of passion. Everyone wants to raise great kids. Everyone wants to have a great marriage. Everyone wants to develop providential relationships. Everyone wants to succeed financially. Everyone wants to stay in shape physically. Everyone wants to be healthy emotionally. Everyone, I think at least if you're sitting here today, everyone wants to live a faithful life spiritually. And sadly, what happens is that too many people think all of those things will just happen to us someday.
Someday later, we'll experience all that stuff. Someday when, right, we'll think, yeah, I'll be generous when I make a little bit more. Yeah, I'll invest into our marriage once again when the kids are out of the house. Yeah, I'll connect with the guys when things slow down a little bit. Yeah, I'll get back to my morning quiet time with God when the kids would just finally start sleeping through the night. Then I'll get back to all that stuff. Yeah, I'll go back to church when things aren't so busy in our life right now. Someday when? Or if we don't think that, I think we think all of those things that we want in life, we kind of think, well, if we're going to experience them, they'll find us, right? If that's really what God wants for us, they'll kind of fall right into our laps, right? Those kind of things, those kind of blessings, you know, those kind of attributes, they can't be predicted. There's no guarantee. We think that's really just a roll of the dice, right? That stuff will happen if the stars align and if we're lucky. See, here's what happens. And I observe all these kind of things all the time, right? Someone will see in someone else qualities that they wish they had in their own life and assume that it was luck or happenstance that that person had those qualities. For instance, right, when someone sees their friend or neighbor or coworker living with purpose and passion for life, they think, wow, that's cool. I wish I had all that going on for me. They're so lucky. Except I would not say that it's luck. It's not happenstance, right? God was not playing some like blind game of pin the tail on the donkey, right? When he was selecting who to gift, you know, with this kind of passion in life. No, it's all the things that no one saw. The discipline and the commitment and the dedication in their life that produced the life that everyone saw and everyone noticed and everyone wanted. You may look at your friend's marriage and you think, oh, they have such a great marriage. They're such a great team. They're so lucky, aren't they? I would say, I don't know if they're all that lucky. I would say maybe they're just disciplined. I mean, I would say maybe the marriage they have is a result of all the things that no one sees in their life and in their relationship. Maybe it's a collection of all the little things that happen behind closed doors. No one sees the time that they make for each other. No one sees the sacrifices that they make for each other or the way they cheer for and champion the other on. No one sees the love and the grace that they offer to each other. No one sees the way they choose time and time again to forgive one another and to make forgiveness a habit in their marriage. No one sees the commitment they make to the activities in their marriage that no one is really supposed to see in the first place. I don't know. But all I do know is that the things that no one sees are typically the things that produce the life and the marriage that everyone wants, right? You may see two or three people who appear to be really good friends. And you go, you know, man, that looks so amazing. How do you know they're good friends? Well, it's probably because they plastered their friendship all over social media, which raises a really good question. Are you really friends if your photos don't end up on Instagram? Okay, it's a very deep question, very philosophical question. I don't know if I'm smart enough to answer that question, but here's what I do know. Everyone sees the friendships in public and they think, man, it looks so easy. But what they don't see is all the times those friends risked sending and accepting invitations into homes and into lives. That they don't see all the times those friends sacrificed for each other. They don't see all the times when these friends were vulnerable with each other and asked for help and gave help to each other. What they don't see is all these times that these friends actually fought with each other behind closed doors and yet fought for each other at the same time. What they don't see is all the things that existed behind closed doors that produced the life that everyone sees and that everyone notices and that everyone wants, right? You may see God's blessing. God's blessing in someone's life, and you think, well, lucky them. I would say I don't know if it's luck. I don't believe that God's blessings are luck or coincidence or happenstance. I believe that the more you give what you have away, the more that's a discipline in your life. I think the more God gives it right back to you, you may see someone else living with clarity and conviction and confidence in your life, and you think, man, they are so annoying. No, you don't think annoying. You think, man, they're so lucky. But it's not luck.
No one sees all of the moments, perhaps, of fasting they did behind closed doors and all the time they spent in prayer daily. Even it was hard and even when they were tired, they don't see all the times they spent in prayer daily seeking God's will and seeking God's guidance and seeking God's leading in their life. You may be impressed with the wisdom and the godly advice that you receive from someone else. You think, man, I wish I was wise as they were, right? You assume it's just kind of some roll of the dice that means you might have that perspective and the wisdom that someone else does. But what you may not know and you probably don't see in those people is all the time they spend reading and studying and scouring God's word that is described as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Mid-Current Church, it is the things that no one sees that produces the life that everyone wants. And if that's the case, then I want to ask you a couple questions then here today. The first question is this: what is it that you want in life? I mean, what is it that you want for your life or for your faith or for your family or what is it that you want for your finances or for your career or what is it that you want for your marriage or your friendships or what is it that you want for the health of your physical or your mental, your emotional, your spiritual well-being? What is it that you want? What is it that you see in others and you think, man, I wish I had that? And once that comes to mind, then ask yourself, what's the one discipline that you need to take up to help produce it? What is it that you want? And what's the one discipline that you would build into your life that would maybe help produce it, create it for you? I love what Pastor Craig Rochelle says about this kind of thing. He says successful people do consistently what most other people do occasionally. Successful people do consistently what most other people do only occasionally, right? So the question again is, man, what's the one thing that you will do consistently and regularly in your life that people might not see, that people might not notice, that they might not even applaud? But what is it that could be the thing that produces the success or the fullness or the faithfulness or the spiritual maturity that you are longing for? Maybe it's giving where there is a need and beginning some kind of new level of generosity in your life. Maybe it's praying. In starting new routines of quiet time and of conversation with the God of the universe who is bending his ear to you. Maybe it's fasting, carving out regular periods of time to try to hear from God more clearly in your life. Maybe it's reading God's word and committing to some, committing some portion of your day regularly to a Bible reading plan or to a devotional book, or maybe it's something else. Right, that's been on your heart and on your mind lately. I don't know what it is or what it will be for everyone, but here's what I do know. Our public life, it will only be as full, it will only be as successful as our private disciplines will allow. Our outer life that everybody can see, that everybody notices, right? Our outer life will only grow in the way that we might want it to when our inner life is strong enough to support it. And here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that your life and mine, even our outer life, even our public life, I'm hoping that our lives would get people's attention. I'm hoping people would notice the lives that you and I live here in Hudson and in River Falls and in New Richmond and in Spring Valley and in Ellsworth and in Stillwater and in Woodbury and in St. Paul even. I'm hoping people would notice the lives that we live. I hope the lives that we live in our neighborhoods and in our schools and in our workplaces, I hope they're so attractive. I hope they're so uncommon and so unheard of and so never seen before that people, that their heads would turn right? That people would want to know more about us, not so that we would get all the credit, but that God would get all the credit. That our lives would leave a God-sized wake wherever we go. That our successes and our wins and our blessings would only be a big, giant opportunity to point people to a good and loving Father. And if that's going to be the case, then here's what we have to remember. That success and those wins and those blessings, right? It's not luck. It's not happenstance. It's not a roll of the dice. Most often, all of that is the result of all the things, all the early mornings, all the sacrifices, all the prayers, all the blood, all the sweat, all the tears, all the commitment, all the dedication that nobody saw and that nobody knew about. But it's all of those things and many others that produces the life that I think most people long for. And that's what I want for you. And that's what I want for me. I think God wants it for us as well. So you got to ask yourself, what is it that I want? And what's the one thing? What's the one discipline I'll take up in my life that would maybe, just maybe, help produce it? Let me pray for us. God, thanks so much for this time and this place that we get to press pause, and then we get to call time out, and then we get to open our hearts up to you. Even if it's just for 60 minutes this week, God, we're grateful for a time and a place to put ourselves in a position to hear from you and to experience you in big ways. And God, I'm constantly amazed at the people that walk through our doors, God, the high caliber level of people, God, the amazing people with amazing gifts and amazing talents. God, this church is full of so many remarkable people, God. And I pray that we would continue to live remarkable lives that you know, get the attention of the world around us, God. I just pray that we would remember, God, that the lives that we live, the outer lives, the public lives that we live, God, I think they are only going to be strengthened by the inner lives that we work hard to develop as well. So God, I pray that each of us here would be ready to do the hard interior work, the work that maybe nobody sees, nobody applauds, nobody notices. God, I pray that we would be committed to those kind of things, to that kind of work in our life, so that it would produce a strong foundation. For us to live a life, God, that would truly point others to you in everything that we do. God, thanks so much for these moments. Thanks for a chance to connect our hearts to yours here today. And most of all, thanks for your son, Jesus. It is in his name that we pray today. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram.